I'm going to read from the 30th chapter of the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, and then we'll turn to the New for our reading this morning. And my subject is the balance of faith. Balance in the faith life. Many people today are adrift, and many casualties have been caused by the overemphasis in some areas on the confession of faith. Faith is glorious. It's absolute. And my purpose today will be in no measure to destroy faith, but to build faith. But you need something to build your faith on. And that is the whole Word of God. So we're going to spend our time together. Let's read the 30th chapter of Ezekiel, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. I've never seen an hour when the phrase, the Lord told me, was used as lightly as it is right now. It'll be a marked day on your calendar when God talks to you. And it's glorious. It's great. I have an inner witness of the Spirit in my heart often. But for me to have direct direction from the throne of God is a glorious occasion. And I have had it. Hallelujah. I have heard His voice. And it's a thriller. But every time He says it, you can mark it on your diary. It will come to pass. Read it. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, the Lord hath not sent them. They have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision, and have ye not spoken a lying divination? For as you say, the Lord said it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because you've spoken vanities, seen lies, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. Mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because they have seduced my people, saying, Peace, and there was no peace. One built up a wall, and no another daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them that which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith you've daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the walls that have been daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall not be consumed, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, The wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. to whip the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. We're in an hour today that I have never lived just like that. Men are preaching what is expedient and what is wanted by the congregation. Paul said, in the last days, men shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Probably the greatest subject in your Bible is the faith subject. When we come to faith in the Bible, it's one of the most glorious subjects. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe, and it shall be given unto you. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and to him that seeketh. Did you hear the words? Asketh, seeketh, and knocketh. It shall be open, he shall find. We're in an hour today when people are looking for shortcuts to God's divine plan for their lives. This Bible teaches one thing from Genesis to Revelation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto God, and he will abundantly pardon. Jeremiah chapter 29 says, in the day you seek me with all of your heart, then will I be found of you. The Holy Spirit, by revelation, the voice of God was revealed to Solomon. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin. We're living in an hour when almost it's antique to hear about a tarrying service, a seeking service, a waiting on God, or importune praying, or intercessory prayer preached on in the church. We're looking for alternative paths. I hear a great deal today about confess it. Just confess it and you can have it. Claim it. Two words are in our vocabulary today. When you mention faith immediately across the land, there's two words that come into our mind. Claim it and confess it. Strange in your Bible, these two words are hardly found. Claim it is never found. Confess it is only found in four scriptures in your Bible and never in that setting. So we're going to take a little journey on the subject of faith. Let's begin with number one. We hear a great deal about do not speak negative. And I agree with that. You can live in pessimism. You can live in defeatism. And some folks enjoy being defeated. I do not believe there is any virtue, any blessings in living in constant defeat. There's people that look for a storm and are disappointed if they don't find it. Some pastors, when they take the church, are experts in finding boogers. Say amen. You don't have to look for them. They'll show up soon enough. Say amen. So there are people that live in defeatism all the time. They talk defeat. They live in defeat. And I want to shout it, that is not the will of God. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God has something besides living in negative defeatism. Glorifying sickness, glorifying defeat, glorifying trials, glorifying our difficulties does not glorify God. So I do not want you to think I'm trying to live under a martyr's complex or a spirit of defeatism, there is a victory in Christ that makes us more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. We're victorious in Him. But to teach you that you can just confess your way to fame and fortune is error. It sounds good. It sounds so good until you can almost attract the crowd today by telling them if they'll repeat these little pep phrases. Just get up in the morning and start saying, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I'll be rich, I'll be wise, I'll be great. That it doesn't come by repetition. Victories in God come by following Him and believing Him and seeking Him and obeying Him. This is the victory that's in Christ. I see today most of the confessism today is for material things. I confess this house. I confess this automobile. I confess this yacht. Amen. I get amazed at how humanistic and how materialistic the gospel is becoming in our world. If you can just confess it and you'll become extremely rich, then it's a shame that Paul didn't know about this. It's a shame that Jesus didn't know about it. He had nowhere to lay his head. And if this will work, then let's go to India and every one of those folks will become millionaires before very long. A gospel that doesn't work in India or Africa is not a true gospel. If this book is real, it'll work anywhere you apply it. And it is real. Hallelujah. So there is a place for confession. But did you know that confess and confession, confesseth, confession is only in your Bible 24 times? And most of the times when it's used, confess, 24 times in your Bible, it's there to confess your sins. But that's unpopular. You tell folks to confess sin, and that'd take a long time. Would you say amen? I like the way you're looking at me. And then the Bible said, confess your faults. And that's absolute contrary to the new teaching now. You're speaking negative. Don't confess any faults. Humanism and universalism is marching into our churches with materialism, and these are enemies of the cross of Christ. James said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. I believe God answers prayer, and I'm thrilled that God blesses us. And I'm thankful for all of His blessings my way. But I'm sincere with you, I do not want 5 cents more than what I can handle and get to heaven with. And somehow or other, it seems I haven't been able to handle much. But I am sincere with you. I see people, it'll be a blessing if they never become millionaires. I'm not one that believes you can get in this line and get this card and send this offering in to this telecast and you'll never have any more financial problems. I heard a man on the radio that's had a blessed purse, and if you'd send and get it, you'd never have any more financial problem. It must be untempered mortar, prophets that have spoken lies, and God said, I'm against it. There's a lot of this today will fall when the storm comes. The prophet said you can build a wall and leave the temper out of the mortar and not stucco it or plaster it or daub it with a tempered mortar so you can turn the storm. And it'll stand and look like a wall and everybody will be glad and it'll look like your church is flourishing. But if it's not built on the word of God, when the storm comes, it'll crumble. I got amazed. I picked up a bulletin the other day, and it had a set of things for you to get up every morning and repeat. I am an heir. I am going to be rich. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be wealthy. I got tickled. And you're supposed to go over that and chant it every day. And I thought, that's a substitute for this book. Pick it up and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. My cup runneth over. Hallelujah. See, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I may go through the valley in the shadow of death, but right in that valley I can fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I do have some enemies, but you fix a table right in front of them. Hallelujah. Build on the word of God, and you'll have something to stand on when the evangelist has left town. Some believe they're creators by confessing. The other day I heard a man say in a meeting I attended, he said, my voice today carries the same authority as God. And I thought, just any time he'll create worlds, there'll be another planet spinning out here in a little while. If that is true, why would Jesus teach us to pray always? Oh, my friend, so many foolish things today are being heralded and pumped into your living room that is not in the Bible. Look again. There are those that believe if they confess they're not sick, they're not sick. That's the same thing that Mary Eddie Baker, somebody, I don't know how many more she had, Mary Eddie Baker came teaching Christian Science. In fact, they went so far in it to believe there's mind over matter in everything. Christian Science teaches this pulpit's not here. You got it in your mind, you're going to hit a pulpit. Get ready. Well, I did. Amen. But it really isn't there. And we're having a Christian Science rebirth in Pentecostal circles. I believe it's wrong to say you're not sick when you're sick. If I'm sick, I'm sick. And if I'm sick, I need healing. And healing's provided for in the atoning blood and in the stripes of my blessed Jesus. With his stripes we're healed. Just saying I'm not sick. Can you imagine Paul? Paul didn't know this. Trophimus, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. Have I left at Miletum thinking he is sick? 1,000 times no. Look again. Paul wrote in chapter 4 of the book of Galatians. And I wish Paul had known not to use negatives. If he'd have got some of these tapes from Tulsa, he'd have known better. And if he'd have tuned his channel and got some of these programs, he would have learned. Amen. I like the way you're looking at me. I'm, if Paul writes in Galatians 4:11, I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. I wish we could get back to just real, absolute truth. I don't like synthetics. I don't like imitation, whether it's gospel or church or worship or supposedly singing in tongues. I want reality. When you get it, get reality. When I go to the store, you can buy a big bottle of vanilla that says pure imitation vanilla. And it doesn't cost much. And a little bitty bottle over there that says pure vanilla costs twice as much as this great big bottle. So I buy the pure vanilla because I'm not going to lie to my stomach. Oh, that we would find pure religion. Something you could stand upon. Not the word of an evangelist, not the popular trend of the day, not what will pack the church building, but what will hold you and what will prepare you to meet your King. Amen. what we say is important. Jesus said, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. It is important what we say. How we say it is important. But I do not think that this covers the whole sphere of just the confession of faith. Your thought life is important. Paul said, if there be any virtue, if there be any goodness, am I right? If there be anything, think on these things. I believe your thoughts ought to be brought into captivity too. And there is a teaching, there is an element of truth in this. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That repeats this tape every day. No, whose heart and mind is stayed on thee. Hallelujah. Build yourself in the word of God. It'll hold you when the storm comes in life. I heard a preacher preach not long ago, and his whole message was Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. I wish you'd turn in your Bibles. It won't take us but a moment to turn there. I hate to take our time, but this is being stressed so from pulpit and air. And I was amazed at this minister spent his entire time on Isaiah 23 and 7. Let's read it. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds like if you think it, that's you. But that isn't what that verse says at all. Read the verse before it. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. That's an old Scrooge that envies of every bite you take. I like the way you're looking at me now. Have you ever eaten dinner with folks and they told you just exactly how much the butter cost? And how high price this meal costs today. That's what he's talking about. Somebody that envies you of every bite you take. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. While you're eating, he's saying, sure glad to have you over. But in his heart he's saying, I sure wish you hadn't come. He's just exactly what he's thinking in his heart and not what he's acting. And that's what that verse thing. And I heard a whole sermon wrapped up in just thinking. What you think, brother, that's what you'll be. That's the opposite. He's talking about an old tightwad. I like the way you're... You don't enjoy being around people that are so tight they stand still, keep them wearing our shoe leather. Amen. Eat thou and drink and say... Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. That's the reason why he's saying it. He's thinking something different in his heart. And whole sermons are wrapped up in as a man thinketh in his heart, you give ever your thoughts right. Now think this, say this little tape every day. Get up and say these words, and that's what you'll be. If you want Cadillacs, say Cadillacs, 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 Cadillacs. Rolls Royce, that's baloney. Would you say amen? See, this doesn't have a thing to do with it. The morsel which thou hast eaten, thou shalt vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Amen. You feel like you've been told one thing and he really meant another. And that's exactly what he's saying. Look again to the word. Thinking is not enough. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If this new doctrine that's going around is all you got to do is think this, you'll have it. Possibility thinking is coming out of the West Coast into your living room every single Sunday, every Sunday. Possibility thinking. Just think big, think great, think good of yourself. Do you hear it? Paul said, he that thinketh he standeth, better do some looking around. Take heed lest you fall. universalism is marching into our churches. Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I was up in a district not long ago, and this is running like a prairie fire. Universalism being preached in full gospel pulpits. Man didn't sin. He lost his self-image. Nothing could be further from the truth. We were sinners, and Jesus Christ died for our sins, the just for the unjust. I'm hurrying now to the confession of faith. Humanism that teaches man is great. Man, you are great. You are somebody. Self-esteem. I'll be a little God. Amen. Look to me. See me. And Paul writes, and I wish Paul had known this. Paul said, which I'm the least of the least of the saints. And I thought, Paul, I wish you'd have got to hear one of these programs. And Paul writes to the Romans and says not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But he said to be of lowly mind. And the book said a proud look is an abomination in the sight of God. And say amen. So a forward heart is an abomination in the sight of God. What we're seeing today is exactly opposite of what the book is teaching. Look again to the word. Just thinking will not change God's will. Romans chapter number 2, verse 3. And thinkest thou, O man, that judgest them which do such thing and doest the same, that thou shall escape the judgment of God? We don't cool hell off one bit by not preaching on it. We don't change the judgment of God by not preaching on it. We're in a day of claim it, a day of confession. The lights go off. Every once in a while, you'll say something about difficulty. Oh, don't say that. You're speaking negative. Have you heard that lately? Don't say that. That's negative. Did you know that this Bible is negative? Did you know the first book that God ever wrote was the Ten Commandments with his own finger, and every bit of that was negative? I wish he'd have got some of those tapes. Say amen. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. We filled our pulpit with sugar and spice and everything nice and have given people sugar diabetes in the spirit. Say amen. Give us a revival that bring back balance. The same God that's a God of love is a God of consuming fire. And this, don't say anything negative. I know you can dwell in negatives till you're defeated, but there are some things in life. Paul said, I've been in shipwreck. I've been in the storm. I faced difficulty. I've been beaten. I've been in jail. I've been hunger. I've been cold. And Paul knew that there's some negatives in life. For he told his converts, through much tribulation, you'll enter the kingdom. Peter knew the trying of your faith worketh patience. Did you know that just confess it is not in your book? The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. For with the mouth, confession is made, with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But it doesn't have anything to do with going around repeating phrases. That's how you get saved. Amen. And in the book of Hebrews, I went to Hebrews chapter 11 and didn't find a bit of confession in that whole book. I got excited the other night studying on this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. That's the book of faith, and if we know how to get faith, we ought to get it over there. Amen. The chapter of faith. Let's turn quickly to it, and we'll find it. Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith, we confess the worlds were here. No, we understand. Number four, by faith, Abel confessed he had an altar. No, he offered sacrifice. Verse 5, Enoch was translated. Not confessing is going to be translated. I think Enoch was just as surprised as he could be the day he started through the clouds. All he is trying to do is have a testimony and please God. When he left here, here's a preaching. Jude said he was preaching. Behold, the Lord cometh. Woo, with 10,000 of his saints. And the Lord said, I like the way you're preaching. You're preaching that ahead of time. I think I'll take you with me. Hallelujah. Say amen. Walk with God. Let the other things take care of themselves. God will bless you. God will prosper. You honor him with your substance. You pay your tithes. You give to God. You put God first in your life, and he'll add these other things to you. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, confessed that the flood wouldn't get him. Brother, he'd have drowned it out there repeating those tapes. He built a boat. Hallelujah. Say amen. We didn't build churches standing around confessing we're going to build a church. We build them by sweat and by labor and prayer and sacrifice and giving and working for God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of a place into inheritance, confessed, I'm already there. No, he obeyed, went out. Folks, I wish we could get this in a proper perspective again. By faith, and here's where Abraham did confess. Let's read it, verse 13. Here's one of the confessions of faith. I'll never be sick. But he was. And now they're shipwrecked. People have listened to these tapes. I will never have another day of sickness. I'll never have trouble because I live in the positive and I confess it. And then trouble comes and sickness comes because you're still in the flesh. And when it does, their ship is shipwrecked and their walls was daubed with untempered mortar. And it crumbles and they're adrift then. They've got nowhere to go. We better be careful about making second-rate saints out of somebody because they have tragedy. Would you say amen? There's a lot of these things sound good on the electronic church. Pouring into your home every day. We're believing. We're confessing it. We're going to build another swimming pool out in the back. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of difference between that electronic church that pours into your room and all just sounds like that if you confess it, you'll be wealthy and healthy. And that pastor that has to stand by you in the hour of sickness and is there when tragedy comes and lives with you in sorrow and is there to pray with you when a husband walks off and leaves family and children without food and without provision. And the church has to stand by him in the hour of trial. Folks, get ready. In this world, you will have tribulation. But through it all, he'll make you victorious. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. And the trying of your faith, Peter said, is more precious than gold, though it be tried in the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a victory in faith. This is the confession. We're not of this world. Read again. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob, leaning on his staff. By faith, Joseph made mention of his bones. By faith, Moses was hid 3 months. And by faith, Moses refused to be called. Faith will make you strong in God's will. By faith, they kept the Passover. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not. And then Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and Samuel, not one of them were delivered because they confessed it, but because they believed in the midst of difficulty. And then when you get down to the other, it said, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mallets
Quench the violence of fire, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in the fight, turn to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. In the same book, there are victors of faith and there's victims of faith. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings. If they'd had some of these tapes, they wouldn't have. I want to impress upon you, false faith is absolutely disaster to your life. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Isaiah the prophet, tradition says, was placed in a log and sawed in two with a log. Others were tortured, tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Let me talk to you this morning. Hold to God's unchanging hand. The prayer of faith still saves the sick. The Lord still does the raising up. Hallelujah. There's a great deal today about if you pray over anything more than once, you're out of the will of God. Are you hearing that from every corner? We just confess it. Confession is removing prayer meetings out of our church. And most churches that adhere to this confess it, claim it doctrine don't even have altar services. And altar services will be antique in the Assembly of God church if there's not a trend they'll turn it around. I would not pay the light bill on a church that didn't have an altar service. Weak conversions will produce carnality in that church that will eventually lead to ruin and damnation. Jesus prayed all night. He didn't know this. 15 times in the New Testament, Jesus prayed, and several times it said he arose a great while before day. He prayed all night. He prayed until morning, and being in prayer and agony. If Jesus prayed all night, then you and I need to learn the same lesson of waiting upon God. Jesus saw the man that was blind, and he touched his eyes the first time. And he said, I see men as trees walking. And he laid his hands back on him. And the second prayer, he said, I see perfectly. Hallelujah. Jesus told us that there's some kinds of demon spirits do not come out except by what? Prayer and fasting. I looked again to Luke chapter 11, verse number 5, and Jesus taught on 11th chapter of Luke is the chapter on prayer. It's the where he taught us how to pray. And he was praying when he taught them how. And just as soon as he finished teaching them how to pray, he said a certain man had a friend to come to see him at midnight. And he was in bed, and that friend said, I'm coming, I'm hungry. And he knocked on the door, said, a friend of mine's come to see me, and he knocked on the door. And he said, arise and lend me some loaves. And he would not. And because of his what? Importunity. He kept knocking. He arose and gave him as many as he needed. Hallelujah. This book teaches importune praying. Again, Jesus said, the little woman that kept coming continually to the unjust judge, because of her continually coming, shall not God avenge his own elect which cry unto him once a month? Day and night. Hallelujah. This is the teaching of the book. Prayer, continued prayer. We're not heard by our much speaking. It's the prayer of faith. James said, that man that doesn't believe, don't let him think he'll get anything from God. But faith will hold on through the storm and will keep holding on till victory is wrought in his holy name. Abraham held on for Lot. Jacob wrestled all night before he got the blessing. May we again wait before God and believe him for great things. Not long ago, a famed evangelist that is one of the strongest voices for this claim it doctrine that's going around and confess it. And I do regret that Jesus didn't know about it. He prayed in the garden till his sweat was great drops of blood. If he'd have just known to confess it, he could have saved all of the agony of that hour. According to that teaching, that's not so. My blessed Jesus knows all things. And he cried, and being in agony, he prayed again. Real prayer demands some intercessory. Not long ago, I was listening to a program. And he said in that program, we heard it twice, so it's not a misunderstanding. He said he attended a convention, and a preacher came in, and their little girl had leukemia. And he said, he came to me and said, my daughter has leukemia, and I want you to agree with me and confess her healing. And he said, we did. He said, we held hands and we agreed, and I confessed it, and she was just as healed as if she had never had it. And that sounds good on TV, and it makes you look good. But he said, in a few minutes, another preacher came in, and this preacher friend of his came over to him and said, my daughter has leukemia, and I wish you'd pray with us too that God would heal her. And this evangelist said, of course she died, because I claimed it, and I prayed once, and that's enough. And of course she died. And that made that preacher, he said, a murderer. Said he might as well took a pistol and killed his daughter and shot her and blew her brains out. For he is just as much a murderer. How false can that doctrine be? I'm going to tell you, I don't understand the mystery of God's great will. The same ones can pray for you and have prayed for me. And then another time they prayed and I was healed by the power of God. Folks, let's serve him. He's sovereign. But I do not believe in this theory that we're murderers just because we quit claiming it on one little point. Give us the power to walk with God. Not a prophet in the Old Testament knew the claim it and confess it theory. Not one. Not a prophet of old. Joel said, come and lie all night in sackcloth. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Men prayed often, prayed continually, waited on God. This prayer of faith is the prayer that holds to God's unchanging hand and waits on him for all things. Hallelujah. Let me hurry. Acts chapter 4, the New Testament church did not know this doctrine. They were in an upper room and continued in prayer and supplication. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 4, they continued in prayer. Acts chapter number 9, Ananias went over and prayed for Saul. Acts chapter 8, the revival broke out in Samaria, and they sent for Peter and John, and they prayed for them to receive the Holy Ghost. And folks, there's another dangerous theory, something that's going around today, and that is not only light conversions, but light baptisms. The worst thing that could get in your church is somebody that wants to teach them how to speak in tongues. I don't want my grandchildren around it. I don't want my children exposed to it. When they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want Jesus to be the baptizer, and I want there to be an indwelling of the third person of the Holy Trinity revealing and empowering their lives. I don't want them to just be counted by some evangelist or some group that took them in a room and tried to teach them how to speak in tongues. I want them to have an utterance by the Holy Ghost. Amen. It thrills me through and through. When my children sing in the Spirit, I don't want them to get in some little chanting meeting that satisfies us, that's the same little chant until you catch on to you can say the same little thing somewhere off in minors. When they sing in the Spirit, I want them to drink out of a fountain that flows into their heart to where there's an overflow of the Holy Ghost, and they live in that beauty of singing by the Holy Ghost. I don't want my children or my grandchildren exposed to a church that has to teach them how to dance with the Spirit and reach a certain little place and everybody gets out in the aisle. One of the largest and fastest growing churches in the state of Florida, in full gospel circles, reaches a place in their service and say, all right, we're going to dance with the Spirit. And out they go in the aisles. In Oklahoma, they got carried away and got to dancing with couples. And understand they're dancing with couples there now. Watch out. This is false gospel. This is pretense. This is when you lose reality. You've got to substitute it with something that appeals to the carnal flesh. My heart is trembling. This business, we're trying to satisfy and appeal to the carnal through the works of the flesh, may attract the crowd and may fill your church, but it's undyed mortar. The storm's going to come. My heart's crying. Paul and Silas didn't confess it that they're going to get out of jail. They sang and prayed. And Paul got the jailhouse fell. And Paul would have written a letter if he'd have been today and said, dear friends, I double dare them to lock me up again. I'll shake any jail they put me in. Hallelujah. And if you folks in this radio audience have got faith, you'll shake them too. Amen. Send me an offering and I'll send you a card on how to shake jails down. Be sure and send an offering, though. Would you say, dummy, 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 dummy. Peter passed by, and the shadow of Peter happened to hit some folks, and he was so full of the Holy Ghost. And I was surprised he's full of the Holy Ghost. He just buried Ananias and Sapphira, and they were good members in a lot of churches. They gave half. Say amen. I don't understand that. Looks like if anybody's out of the will of God, it's Simon Peter. And a bunch of that church had their membership cards filled out and went back to the pastor and said, I'd like to get them back. We'd like to pray over this. For the King James says, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them. Some of them wanted their card back. We'll wait a little while, Simon. We want to pray over this. I'm coming to faith. I've got the positive end of this, but we got to work on the other side, how foolish some of these things are. We need to see it's a TV gimmick. We need to see it's an appeal to the flesh. It's a shortcut to keep us from having reality. I'm convinced that a lot of this is a trick of the devil, no longer to throw eggs at the church and to burn the church, but to join it and water down the experience till it's not real in the hearts of individuals. Here's my heart cry. Give us reality again. Waiting on God. Let him baptize. Let him send the glory. I like shouting. Hallelujah. We've had some in this camp that's real. Dancing with the Spirit is real. Singing in the Spirit is real. Hallelujah. Worshiping in the Spirit is real. I've been there for hours. We've been drenched in the love of God and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. But it was not a man-made concoction or did not come through pulpit gimmicks. It was real. Paul stood after long absence when the storm was on. If he'd have known it, he could have just confessed it, according to some of these theories. After long absence, we called it praying through over revivals in the early days of Pentecost. We called it praying a revival through. Brother Fulfer, you remember when we talked like this? We prayed a revival through. Hallelujah. His glory came. We held on. My brother was healed of typhoid fever. And that old warrior of the cross, what a man he was, walked in our house that day with a little bottle of oil and said, "Brother Jake, I've come to stay till your boy gets well." And I wondered where he was going to sleep. I got to thinking, now you know he's sick, he's in bad shape. But a few minutes time, they prayed, and they prayed again, and the heavens came down, and Joe was healed by the power of that name Jesus. Let me tell you, whole, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me hurry. What is faith then? You say, Brother Brankel, if the confessive theory doesn't work, and there is a place where you do confess, you can sit around, pray and cry all the rest of your life. There comes a place where you have the assurance and you can say it. There is a place for confession. Paul, after long absence, stood out on the bow of that boat and said, "Be of good cheer." There stood by me this night an angel whose God I am and whose God I serve, and there's not going to be any harm to any of you. There's a place where you can stand in the affirmative and confess God's word, and it's yours because you have the assurance in your heart. There is a place where you can claim it. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but waxed strong, giving glory to God. There was a place when Abraham went up the mountain with Isaac. The book said he, what? Believed that God was able to even raise him from the dead. Paul, there's a place where you can claim it. So I don't want to discount all of it, but error gets to where you live in a little dream world. And then when your bubble breaks, you're adrift on the shore. Amen. I do not know of a single family that have been shipwrecked and their faith has been shattered and they were wrapped up in this business, and then when the storm came, but what it hasn't dealt a deadly blow, and many of them today can't find any place to recoup. This prosperity doctrine is not all air. God said, John said, "I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And I think, I thrill when God blesses our saints. I'm glad that we're not all of us in the shape we were one time. Say amen. I'm telling you, I was raised as poor as Job's turkey, the one that had to lean against the fence to gobble. I know what it is. Amen. We didn't have this world's good. Back during the Depression, when we were living in the most glory that I've ever lived in my life, our home was aglow with the glory. My mom would shout and talk in tongues and worship God. And we'd have church, and there wasn't even a preacher. We'd just pray and shout and have a time. You'd have thought we was having camp meeting, and there wasn't even anybody there to entertain us. Didn't even have a quartet or a loudspeaker. Or a Jimmy Swaggart record. And I love Jimmy Swaggart. But we didn't have that. And we lived in glory. And we jacked our Model A Ford up. And it was a convertible. It wasn't intended to be, but the top came off. And we jacked that Model A Ford up and put it on blackjack blocks and walked to church. Walked to church. And we'd sing, "Won't It Be Wonderful There," and just have a time. Mom would carry her shoes because we didn't want to wear them out. It'd come a storm always at church, and we couldn't go home in the storm, and we'd sleep at the church, stay there till the next morning. Amen. Go back and milk cows and just shout all day and say, "Boy, didn't we have a time?" Hallelujah. But now I really don't really care for a lot more of that. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that God's let me drive a Ford van that's got air conditioning in it. Amen. If it is a Ford. Robert. I'm glad that God's let me live in a house that's got running water in it. And I'm telling you, I go home and I look around and I say, "Ooh, I feel like the drunk did when he looked down in the pool and saw the moon down there in that water." He said, "I don't know how in the world I got up here." "Ooh, I don't know how on earth I got all the things I've got now." Amen. Brother, I'm blessed. Say amen. I'm thankful to the Lord for his blessing. But this basing your religion and making everybody that doesn't have wealth a second-rate Christian is total error. Amen. We're having prosperity classes. How I was a millionaire by the time I was 30. If you wasn't so dumb, you'd be just like I am. Some of them haven't paid hospital bills you paid. Some of them haven't had the handicaps physically you've had. Let's get back to the balance. God will bless you, but let him bless us. Say amen. And be thankful for his blessings. He said, "Honor me with your substance." There is a blessing in paying your tithes. There is a blessing in giving to God. But most of these proponents of the prosperity blessing, the only place you can get blessed is sending to them. And all the prosperity evangelists I know that are preaching this prosperity gospel all together, the only person I know it really blesses is them. Would you shout? And they get blessed all the way to the bank. And couldn't care less when you're sick and when you're in sorrow and when you're in trouble. That's the reason why we need to remember our pastors and remember our churches, and let's build something strong for God. I believe God's plan of finance for the church is the percentage plan. I believe if your pastor's blessed, if your church is blessed, he ought to get blessed. I don't believe no group of men ought to get in a room and decide on salaries. I believe it ought to be, if God blesses that church, you ought to get blessed. Say amen. And I believe that pastors and churches are sinners when they take offerings for evangelists and don't give them to them. Say amen. And that's just like stealing and cussing and doing other things. And you better get straightened out before you get ready to the judgment bar. Hallelujah. There's going to be a lot in this tape if I haven't burned it in two. Sister Branko's fanning it now. Oh, praise the Lord. And then some. Hallelujah. But I'm serious. This is an hour when we need to get back to righteousness. Doing what's right. I know of a couple today that are absolutely living off of other people because they said the Lord told us to just claim this house and we bought it. And claim all the furniture, and we claimed it. And while they claimed it, and it lasted for 90 days, they foreclosed on the house. They came and got the furniture. And they got their car, and the church is feeding them today. And they're still running around in a dream world claiming it. Folks, there's some silly things, and it's because it came out of the pulpit. If you want to start a revival in the Assemblies of God, let it start in the parsonage. Thank you for those good amens and strange looks. I want to deal fair with this subject, faith. Now let me hurry. Faith is real. Your Bible teaches saving faith. Your Bible talks about healing faith. God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith, and if you'll believe, you'll be saved. There is healing faith. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Your Bible talks about obedient faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. Obedient faith. Your Bible talks about mountain-moving faith. If you say in your heart and will not doubt to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall come to pass. I haven't moved Pike's Peak. I thought about it when I was up there. And then I got to thinking, I didn't know where to put it. So I decided, you folks don't need it in New Mexico. And if we had it in Texas, there'd be folks going up there on Sunday missing church. So I just left it up there. I like the way you're shouting now. Well, don't look at me and laugh. How many of you moved? Let's get down to reality. There's things in your life that won't move until faith is administered. And faith will move mountains that nothing else will move. Hallelujah. There's enduring faith, suffering faith. Paul talks about enduring. Peter talks about enduring faith. Faith that'll go through the trial and through the test and through the sorrow and through the storm and can look out and say, I know my Redeemer liveth. Say amen. The Bible said forbearing one another in love. That's putting up with. There's some folks in the church you're not going to change. You just got to put up with them. Thank you for those amens. They're just going to be there. Enduring faith. Putting up with. Forbearing. There's some things you can't change. And some people you can't change. Some of your husbands you can't change. He's not going to pick up his clothes. I don't care how much you nag at him. And a little horse sense will keep you from just being an old nag. Amen. Mom, faith that endures, puts up with, goes through. Jesus speaks of no faith, little faith, and great faith. The Bible talks about the prayer of faith, the life of faith, the walk of faith, the word of faith, the shield of faith. This business of faith is bigger than healing for your body. Paul said, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The gift of faith. And folks, if God, there are five ways you receive faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number one. Number two, God gave everybody a measure of faith. God hath dealt, Romans 12, to every man a measure of faith. Number three, the Jude said, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Your Bible talks about the fruit of faith. There's some people that are in this way that have got faith because they've been through the storm. One dear old